God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you today. We need your grace today to humble ourselves and to believe in the Word of God, not to approach it with our physical strength, not to approach it with our idea, not to approach it with our natural spirit of might. Oh, Lord, forgive us. I say this in the beginning because what I'm studying right now, the Lord is showing me how often I've tried to be strong and I thought it was godly, but the strength that I was trying to muster up wasn't really the strength of God. It was my own confidence or my own zeal or my own passion, and it was coming from my own affection. The Bible said, all who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and all of its affections. I didn't really understand. I didn't know that my strength, my affections are not godly. And let me help you to see this. Paul was very clear when he taught about the thorn that he had in the flesh, where Satan had sent a messenger, a demonic principality, to harass him, a demonic angel, a satanic angel, to harass him. He found out through that when he was weak, then the strength of God could be manifested. The strength of God could be exposed. Not when he was strong, not when he felt bold, not when he was passionate or fervent. No, when he was broken, when he was weak, and when he was feeble. He even talked about later in the epistles, he talked about how the so-called super apostles, these new ministers, were putting Paul down. They said that he's weak in speech. Whenever he comes, he's weak. So when Paul preached, when Paul spoke to people, he didn't do it with a spirit of fervency and power and what many do today with charismania and expose how strong. By faith, brother, by faith, brother. I mean, that just wasn't Paul. He did it in fear, he said, and in trembling when he shared the word of God. Paul knew something that we, most of us, take a long time to really begin to understand. Paul understood it wasn't his human affection. It wasn't his boldness. It wasn't his fervency and determination that made him strong or gave him any advantage over the enemy. The only thing that gave him an advantage over the enemy and made him truly strong was when he was actually broken, weak, and feeble. As a matter of fact, when Paul uses the word, his strength is made perfect in my weakness, it's interesting there because that word weakness is the exact same word for sick in the Greek. And if you look it up, I've done a word study on this morning. If you look up everywhere the Bible talks about this word, it's used interchangeably with physical weakness and physical sickness. They're the same thing, the same word. For example, this word is used when it's talking about someone who is weak in faith, is afraid to eat the food sacrificed to an idol. And if they do so, it causes them to stumble. It opens the door to the devil, because the Bible says if we do something that in our conscience we know it's wrong or we think it's wrong, then we are in sin to purposely go ahead and do it. So Paul says, do not cause a weak brother, a weak sister, don't cause them to stumble with your own freedom. In other words, don't use your freedom to open them up to an attack of the enemy. So this word for sickness is used when he's talking about being weak in the natural man, being feeble, being faint, being weak, being sick. He uses it interchangeably there in the scriptures. And he says, when we are weak, when we are feeble, when our natural strength is dissipated and broken down, then God's strength can be manifested. Now, it's humiliating to me. When I look back, it's so much of what I've done as a pastor, as a preacher over the years. I got saved in Assembly of God churches. I was part of the charismatic movement. And I believed in affection. I believed in strength. I believed in cast it out. You know, I believed in fervency. I believed in thank God's will for you to be sick. And all of that, most of it, the vast majority of it, was coming out of Jeff's affection. All who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and affection, its affections. Even much of what we do, thinking that it's godly, we cry in God's presence, we worship, much of what we have no idea how much of what we do that we think is godly, that's actually just our affection, our fleshly emotion, our natural man trying to participate in the things of God. I remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I used to always have these spells when I was going through a battle. I'd just start crying in God's presence. I know you're going to see me through. I know you're going to put me on the top. I know you're going to. And one day I just was right in the middle of that. And I realized that God, it wasn't God. And I, all these years, like 20 years, I'd been having these bouts of tears and how God's going to see me through this. And I just realized this is my own emotions. This is my own affection. This isn't really yielding to the Spirit of God. This isn't really faith. And ever since then, I just haven't had those times. Yeah, I have times of weakness for sure, but I don't have these times where I just start crying and think God's going to put me on the top anymore. And it's just totally different. And that's, I can't even explain that, but there's a huge difference between true godliness that's manifested when our strength is dissipated and His truth and His life begins to flow. There's a vast difference between that and our own effectualness, our own fervency, our own strength, our own determination to believe or determination to go after God or whatever it may be. Paul found out the truth. It's not when we're strong that God's life. It's not when we're well. It's not when we're powerful. It's actually when we're broken down, when we're attacked, that we can truly be humble and find God's power and believe what He actually accomplished. And I want to deal with this subject for just a minute of sickness, because I don't think I went wrong anywhere more than on this subject, because I portrayed that sickness is never God's will, and that was my doctrine. It's just the devil. It's not God's will. And listen, Jesus did not make anybody sick. That's true. Nobody touched Jesus and got sick. Everybody that touched Him was healed. So I believe without a doubt, it's God's will for us to be healed. But when we really just look at the Scriptures, there's, first of all, sickness is something that is just normal that even believers dealt with. Paul dealt with it. He told the Galatians, "The reason I first preached the gospel to you was because of an infirmity in my flesh." Clearly, he was going through some kind of illness. He was going through some kind of battle with an infirmity in his body. And that is what opened him to preach the good news. He talked about the cross. He told them what Jesus accomplished because of what he was facing. And he did it. The Bible said Paul preached in fear and trembling and weakness. Paul preached to them the gospel. He tells Timothy, have a little wine for your frequent infirmities. The same thing there. It's the same. It's the same Greek word pronounced a little bit different. The same word there, feebleness, sickliness, weakness. Have a little wine for your stomach because of your frequent. It was something Timothy was Paul's protege. He was an apostle after Paul mentored him. He pastored. He was later on. He's an apostle. I mean, he did some wonderful things, Timothy, and powerful man of God. Yet he was struggling physically frequently with different things. And then Paul, I think it's Epaphroditus, something like, I can't remember the name, but one of Paul's good friends was sick, almost unto death. And Paul said, thank God, God healed him and God raised him up because it would have been too much for me to bear. God had mercy on him and me, Paul said. So it was something that believers dealt with. They dealt with it. And those scriptures are just kind of, they're not teaching about sickness. They just mention different things going on in people's lives. And we have a few places in the scriptures that deal with sickness very specifically, doctrinally. They teach us. And they're really interesting when you meditate on the context of them. One of them is James, which I often used as a charismatic preacher. And I would only use the first part of it. I'd only say the prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. It's not God's will for anybody to be sick. But I would often leave out the rest of it, where he said, if you've committed sins, it'll be forgiven. So confess your sins one to another. I don't believe he was saying get up in front of a group of people and tell them all the things you've done wrong. I believe what he's dealing with there is that any time a believer is sick, there's two things they need to do. One, they need to get together with those who are mature in their faith and be prayed for. And number two, they need to search their own heart and see if they've wronged anybody, if they've done something outside of God's will and opened the door to the devil. This is the two things, if you really look at the scripture without any preconceived idea, without any charismatic idea or Baptist idea or doctrinal idea you have in your head, and just look at it for what it says. It says, number one, be pray in faith, and two, look inside. If you've committed any sin, if you've done something, if you've stumbled, if you've hurt somebody, you need to confess your sins so that you can be healed. Oh my goodness. So in a time of sickness, there are two things. We need to focus on what Jesus accomplished for us. Get together with people who believe what he's done. To pray the prayer of faith. Number two, we can't leave this out. We need to search our own heart, our own lives. Even if everybody's getting sick, friend, we shouldn't be sick. By the grace of God, Jesus took our sickness. He bore it on the cross. So if we're sick, we need to get into what he accomplished. And the Word of God tells us the way to do that is to repent. It's to search our own life. Lord, what have I done here? Where have I went wrong? It's not to get into works. There's a difference. It's to get into works is to try to be good enough to be healed. No, it's to be broken. What we're facing, what we're going through, when we're weak, when we're feeble, when we're being attacked, we look inside and say, thank you, Lord. First faith, first faith, first faith. What he accomplished, what he did. First, we pray the prayer of faith. Then, if we've committed sins, we confess them. Have I wronged my wife, my husband, my friend, my coworker, my neighbor? Have I done something to open the door to the enemy? If so, it's time to close it in the name of Jesus. So we don't just need faith. We also need action behind our faith. Repentance, genuine repentance. We see when we're weak. It's amazing how when we're weak, we can see what we've done wrong. It's amazing. When you're strong, you can't see it. Your pride, it blinds you from your own weaknesses. But when you're weak, when you're hurting, when you're broken down, you begin to see your own weakness and you begin to be repentant. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that way. I've been proud. I've been obstinate. I've been rude. I haven't been a good example, whatever it may be. We begin to see these things. I'll never forget when I broke my wrist in six different places and they did the surgery and sent me home with it wrapped tight. That thing began to swell and nobody told me I could unwrap it. I didn't know that. So I had my wife rush me back to the emergency room about 6 hours after the surgery because I was in the most pain I could ever. And I had pain pills that didn't do nothing. And I went in there and I mean, I was in so much pain, I passed out onto the floor. But they finally got me in the back, and there was a nurse helping me, and he was clearly a gay man. He was homosexual. And I was in so much pain, I asked that guy to pray for me. I laugh about it now because he just looked at me. He didn't know how to pray. He didn't want to pray, you know. But my wife was standing there, and I just started repenting of anything I could possibly think of. And every bit of it was legitimate, but I'm like, I've been rude. I've been this. I don't got to. And I just started asking her to forgive me. She said, "It's okay, honey. It's okay." And I said, "No, it's not okay." Oh my God, it was just all coming out, and I didn't care who heard it, friend. I would confess everything. I confessed, baby. I looked at something on the internet a couple weeks ago. I shouldn't have done it. I should have touched it. I mean, man, I was just letting it all out. And I know that guy, that nurse, and there was another nurse there, they were just, oh my God, because I'm sure they've seen it many times when people are in great pain, when people are broken. Oh, the things that they'll say and the things that they'll do, because all of our defenses are down, all of our pride collapses. So God says, when you're sick, when you're going through an infirmity, that's an opportunity for you to look inside with the Holy Spirit. When you are weak, when you are feeble, when your natural man is broken down, that's when the strength of God can be manifest and the work that he finished on the cross can be displayed on your behalf. But it goes together. Two things: one, faith in what he accomplished, and number two, repentance and the things that we've done that have opened the door to the enemy. And actually, the other place the Bible talks about doctrinally teaching sickness is in 1 Corinthians 11. And oh my goodness, people have really taken this one out of context. It's talking about the Lord's Supper. When you come together to partake of communion, he said, many of you are drinking damnation. You're drinking condemnation. You're drinking sicknesses and infirmities upon yourself. Because when you come together, now this is something so many people have taken out of context. The context is very, very plain. 1 Corinthians 11, it's all about one thing: neglecting the needier members of the body of Christ. That's all it's about. Go read it. He says, when you come together, you're eating quickly and you're neglecting the ones that don't have food, and they come and there's no food left. Then after he says about the observing yourself, looking inside when you eat, examine yourself, he says it again. So when you come together, make sure everybody gets something to eat. It's all about the way we treat one another. And when he says to examine yourself before you partake of communion, he's talking about the same exact thing he was talking about in James. He said, because many of you are walking in the flesh, you're bringing condemnation and judgment on yourselves. Many of you are sick and many have died. He's talking to believers. Many of you have died by walking in the flesh like this, neglecting, walking in your own affection, your own life, and neglecting the needier members, putting yourself first. This has opened the door to the devil, and he's making you sick, and he's killing many of you. This is, oh my goodness, that's intense. He said, so examine yourself before you partake. He's not just talking about when you go to church and you get this little cup for wine, this little wafer. He's talking about examine yourself when you come together with believers and you fellowship. Are you putting yourself first? Are you walking in the flesh? Are you putting forth your own life and thinking about you? Because when you're walking in the natural man, friend, you open the door to the enemy. When you walk in brokenness, you've put the other before you, and that keeps the enemy from. So Paul said, examine yourself, the same thing he said in James. So when we're sick, there are two things that we can do. One, we can begin to look at what he accomplished. Talk to those who have faith and who are mature in the faith. The elder, the one who's been with Christ for a while, they really understand the truth, and they can pray for us and anoint us with oil, and we can look inside and we can repent to anyone we've done wrong. We can see how if we have been putting ourselves before others, and we can repent before the Lord, and we can repent before our brothers and sisters. And man, this is a beautiful picture because sickness is not something we should just approach with strength and charismania. It's something we should approach with humility. Paul got sick. Timothy got sick. Epaphroditus, I think is his name. I may be getting that guy wrong. I might have mixed him up with somebody else. He got sick. Different people in the Bible, it shows how they dealt with it. There were sicknesses. There were infirmities. It's part of life. It's part of even right now with this pandemic. If you get it as a believer, it's still just because everybody's getting it doesn't mean it's not time for you to repent. God said he would keep the sicknesses off of the children of Israel, the sicknesses of Egypt off of them, if they were perfect and obeyed all that he said to do. Obviously, that didn't work. But now in this new covenant, Jesus has borne our sicknesses. He's carried our infirmities. He became our life. He took all of that and crucified it. But to be able to experience what he's accomplished, number one, we have to believe what he did. And number two, we have to enter into it by turning away from our own life, by hating our own life. Oh my goodness, this is so amazing when you really begin to see it. It's not exciting to the flesh because we want to be strong. We want this victorious spirit. We want this charismatic, I'm strong, I'm fervent, I'm effectual. And we have no idea that that's just our natural man trying to be strong for God. And that's why we fail. We will fail miserably. And we'll find out eventually if we keep going after God that strength is not found in our affection. It's not found in our great confession. It's not found in, I believe, brother, in Jesus' name. Start throwing oil everywhere and casting out devils. That's not where the strength is found. The strength is found in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our feebleness. When we can't do it, when we see what we've done wrong, when we genuinely repent and believe that we died with him and see why we had to die and acknowledge what we are. Paul said, I know there's no good thing in me. That's a good step towards being healed. I know there's no good thing in me. I can't do anything to deserve it. And then repent. Find out where we've went wrong. We've all went wrong. We have all went wrong. Anytime we're weak, anytime we're broken, it helps us to see areas where we have not been walking in the true spirit of Jesus Christ. And we can repent for that in Jesus' name. Oh, beloved, when we're going through a battle, we're going through a struggle, it's not time to throw oil at it and try to cast the devil out. Amen. The devil will leave when we submit to God. When we are broken, when we are humble, you'd be surprised how quickly the devil will run off when you're whispering what you've done wrong and genuinely repenting. He'll run off a whole lot quicker than when you're shouting and throwing oil and trying to cast him out in Jesus' name with your affection. It's through our brokenness that the strength of God is manifested. It's through our feebleness. It's through our weakness. And friend, if you just look at the context of the word, and really study that word for sickness, weakness, feebleness. There's a couple different pronunciations of it, but it's all the same Greek. It's like in Strong's, I think it's 760, something like that. You have to look up the number. But then there's like a 763 that's pronounced just a slightly different. One sick, one sickly, feeble, weak. It's all the exact same word used in the exact same context. And it's used two different ways. One, the natural weakness of faith, weakness of the flesh, the other sicknesses, infirmities, it's all the same thing. It's being broken. It's being naturally weak, whether it be through sickness and infirmity or through weak faith and lack of really understanding the cross. It's all the same thing. But beloved, when somebody's sick, it's not time to rush in and say, well, man, you must have done something wrong. Or to rush in and start shouting prayers. Friend, it's time to humble ourselves with them. And say, let's believe what God accomplished. By his stripes we are healed. And if we have committed sins, let's confess them to one another. We should approach it humbly. We should approach it in brokenness. Amen. There's no indication anywhere that anybody started shouting. Even Jesus. When people were healed, they touched him. When people were healed with Peter's shadow, none of it was anybody screaming, anybody trying to cast out the devil, anybody trying to pray these great prayers. No, friend, it was just God touching people that believed. And the scripture gives us a clear picture. When we're weak, his strength can be manifested. When we're sick, when we're broken, when we're feeble, when we're weak, his strength is made perfect. It's time to repent. It's time to believe what he did. And I'll close with this. To believe what he did is to believe that we had to die because none of us are good. My life had to die. To believe in what he did is not just some charismatic thing. He took my sickness. No, friend, he took me to the cross. He put me to death. The problem's not sickness. The problem's me. The problem's my own life. My own life is God's enemy. I had to die. Sickness didn't die. Jeff died. That's why sickness died. Because the one whose sickness belongs to died. The first Adam. Oh my goodness. So to believe what he accomplished is more than he took my sickness. He took my, you know what that is? That's the first Adam wanting to continue to live and not be sick. That doesn't work. That's why it doesn't work. Because friend, if you want to continue to live, you're going to continue to be sick. The sickness died when you died. So to believe what he did is to believe that he put me to death. He took my life to the cross and he put an end to it. Thank God. Because that life is connected to sickness. So in order for me to escape the sickness, I have to deny myself. I have to hate my own life and believe what he did with it. Humble myself. See where my life has been manifesting and confess it if I've hurt anybody. One to another, find those that I've done wrong. Find those my life has been manifesting, and I've been rude, I've been inconsiderate, I've been unkind. I've not walked in humility, I've not walked in the Spirit, and confess it to them. And why should we confess that? It's preaching the gospel. Beloved, this is why I had to die. I thank God that I did die, because I can see when I'm strong, I'm rude. When I'm strong, I'm not walking in life. Brother, please forgive me. Sister, please forgive me. Wife, forgive me. Husband, forgive me. Children, forgive me. I've not been walking in a life. My flesh has been strong. This is where we find the healing. This is where we find the genuine power of the cross. We died that he may live. God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen.